5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Let's talk about the star of the show.
Put moron number two on the phone.
I think you must be in a dunny.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listen to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Yes. Happy Tuesday, everyone. We're back and we're global, Bill. We're global. We are an international sensation, the Rush Hour. Don't worry about that. And by popular demand, I've actually had to go stateside to broadcast from Texas because all the people over here want to know is what is it like working with the man, the one and only Billy Brownless. Everywhere I get stopped on the street, they want to know what's it like working with Bill.
G'day, Nico. Hi to you all, actually.
A nice start.
Great to be with you, of course. So we've got a big, big show on. Sean Burgoyne will join us today. What a star. He's got a book out there.
Oh, yes.
And we're going to joke to finish off with. But I forgot about you yesterday, Ramsey. Welcome to you.
Brownie, Riewoldt, opposite ends of the field. Ball goes up in the air. Mm. Both running full pace at it. Who takes that mark?
Mate, it'd be a car crash. Only one man walking away. I was 105 kilos. Little Nicky was about 92.
Little Nicky.
You can work it out for yourself, Matty.
Yeah, you've eaten him alive. Yeah.
You've eaten him alive. Yeah.
Good answer, Matty.
Little Nicky. How are you, little Nicky?
I'm going well, Bill. I noticed Brownie. He likes to talk tough when the other bloke's on the other side of the world.
He's lucky to get it out. He talks that slow. Fair dinkum. Great to have you aboard.
Now, your voice, Bill.
I was sitting at home.
What's that?
Thinking about Houston, where you are right now. You're in Houston, yeah?
Houston, Texas, yes.
Well, it's Houston, but I suppose it's in Texas. Yep. Texas is the state there. Population
thanks.
Of 29 million people, if you don't mind. Bigger than Australia, Ramsey. But you're in the deep south in Houston. Now, that's a space center, isn't it? That's NASA. That's when the rockets go up to the moon and wherever else they go, isn't it?
Yeah, that's NASA. So you're right, Bill. So NASA is in Houston. So the actual, we don't get to see any of the rockets, though. So the rockets take off from Florida, and then once they get into space, then they hand over control to Mission Control NASA, which is based in Houston. So that's why you hear the saying,
"Yes,
Houston,
we have a problem."
There you go, Bill.
Right.
So that's Houston. So Houston's also probably pretty well known for the oil and gas. It's the oil and gas epicenter, I guess, of the Western world. So a lot of Texas tea, a lot of rich oil magnates floating around these parts, Bill.
And they don't like swearing over there in Houston. Cussing.
Well, they're cussing. The South's big on manners, Bill.
Manners.
We know they don't cost anything. Manners, they're free. But no, not big into swearing. Everything's sort of yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, and a real respect for your elderlies and all of that sort of thing, which is good, I think. It's nice for your kids to be brought up that way. You know, our little lunatics, they run around. I'm not sure they're fitting in that well with the way they speak. not a lot of respect to their parents and their elderlies, but they do things a little bit different over here, but they're big into the respect and the manners.
That's unbelievable. So, dadgummit. Is that what they
say? Dadgummit.
What is it?
Well, that's sort of what one of the things that they... I haven't used that one, Bill. I don't hear that one too often, but I think that's one of the ones they use instead of swearing. Dadgummit.
Stupid.
You got some more for me or what? Are we going to get in? We're going to get into those later on. We do have you mentioned the show, Bill. We've got a big show. We've got Silk Burgoyne on. We've got the sports news. Plenty happening in footy still.
Yes.
And cricket. We've got some big cricket news. You got some more material for me, some Texas lingo to help me try to fit in over here.
I just ran through half of it already.
Well, you've burnt your best material.
Well,
I meant to say that.
I couldn't help myself.
For a little bit later.
Can you believe we're starting the sports bit here with the headlines? There's been a double hat-trick overnight by an Irish cricketer. Can you believe that, Rui? An Irish cricketer has taken a double hat-trick in the T20 World Cup.
Well, has this ever happened before?
Only twice before. So it's the third time ever that a cricketer in the T20 World Cup has taken it. We've got some audio. Have a listen.
No!
offer. What are you delivering? Are those cannonballs or cricket balls? 4 in 4.
4 in 4, which is funny, Roo, isn't it? It's called a double hat-trick. I don't know why. His name is...
What?
Curtis Camper, his name is.
I can't take you seriously at the moment. And what are you wearing on your head?
No, it's, I look like Buddy Woody off Toy Story. I know, but Jill's best cowboy hat, feeding. You wouldn't wear it to a dress-up party.
I appreciate the effort. You've gone to your best to try and fit in with the... You need a big 10-gallon hat, Bill. That's what you need.
Actually, I do. Downstairs and up. I'm taking it off because the microphones don't work. Now, also, while we're talking about the T20,
it's a warm-up game. Who did Ireland play last night? Who did Ireland play, you said?
Ireland played the Netherlands, of course, Rui. So we've just got some stuff here. And Scott Edwards was a hat-trick. He was in the hat-trick delivery, the poor bloke. He was the third one out. He's a Melbourne boy. So good work, Scotty. Well done to you. And the Aussies had a win in a warm-up against New Zealand. Always good to beat New Zealand. And David Warner, who's not making any runs. Yeah. Guess how many he made, Roo?
I read this, Bill. What's going on with our boys?
They're all right. Hazelwood's been good. Mitch Stark's bowled. So the bowlers are all right.
I noticed Warner's, he's been sort of, what was he, a vice-captain a few years ago. And Steve Smith, so Warney's come out and said he wouldn't even have him in his best team, Steve Smith.
Well, he made a few runs in the IPL, but he's not a smasher. I think we need him down the end just to keep the team together, and you get these young blokes, Ingles, and hopefully Warner gets going, and Matty Wade, and they can have a crack, whereas Smithy's just down the end pushing the ones and twos. So I don't mind him, but probably Warney would know a bit more than me. But we'll see. It starts next week for the Aussies, so good luck to the Aussies there. I want to ask you a footy question.
Yes.
North Melbourne have got the pick number one. They're going with the young boy Jason Horne-Francis compared to Dangerfield and Fife, if you don't mind. But would you, if you're at North Melbourne, Nick Riewoldt, because you're a number one pick yourself, would you have had a look at the Adelaide offer to the Roos? 3 first-round picks, pick 4 in this year's draft and 2 first-rounders. Would you have had a good look at that?
So the Crows have got 2 first-rounders next year, do they? So you're probably looking at where they're going to finish. I don't think the Crows are going to be anywhere. What do we reckon for Adelaide next year? Bottom 4?
Yeah, 14 or something.
You're getting pick 4. You're probably getting another pick in the top 4 next year, plus another first-rounder. I would have done the deal.
Well, no, the Roos kept him. And then Richmond come along, and they've offered picks 7, 15, 26, and also the ruckman, Coleman Jones.
7, 15, 26. Yeah, well, they got Coleman Jones anyway, didn't they? I had the pick between the two. I like the Adelaide deal. Two top 4 picks and another first rounder. Gee, you're putting a lot of faith in this young 17, 18-year-old, aren't you, Bill?
He's supposed to be all right. He's a big body, so good luck to him. And it is tough being number one pick, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't listened to it.
You know what it is, Bill? When you walk through the door, no one else gives a toss whether you're a number one pick or not. Right. So it's nice. It's nice pedigree and all that. But once you're there, you get down to work.
Hey, good news for Melbourne fans and rush hour fans. Michael Hibbert, the pig.
The pig.
He's got another year. So good luck to him. He's one of our favourites here. He got a year at the Melbourne Footy Club. And just on the footy, Richmond AFLW player, she has tested positive to COVID. So that stopped all pre-season training and things like that. Fancy that, stopping for a couple of weeks there for COVID. It's the world we live in, Nico. But I want to ask you about Ben Simmons. It looks like he's gone back to Philly. But one, is it big news over there? And what is going on?
Big news over here, Bill. Massive, massive news. So coming, absolutely. I mean, it's big news, I feel like, in Australia because he's an Australian guy and he didn't play in the Olympics. I think people in Australia are probably a little bit divided about Ben Simmons and how they feel about him. And I think the way he's handled himself throughout this whole Philadelphia contract situation and will he stay, he wants to be traded, he probably hasn't done himself too many favours and maybe made it worse because he's gone back to training. So he's gone back to training camp. But if you looked at the vision from him today, one of the first times the journalists have actually been allowed in to watch training, he trained in track pants with his mobile phone in his pocket.
Oh, no, he did not.
He did. There's vision of it. There's pictures of it. So And then they had the group sort of huddle and the hands in, the high five at the end of the session, and Ben removed himself from that. So, I mean, we take that with a grain of salt looking from the outside, because pitchers can sort of tell a misleading story at times. But, gee, from the outside, it doesn't look great, does it?
No, no, it doesn't. He should have gone to the Olympics with the Aussies, and he would have been much more loved and felt part of it and felt the arms around him and things like that. So, all right, well, you're all over it over there. We'll ask you every day about Ben Simmons. anything else, Raps?
No, we're done.
Done. All right. We'll take a break, have we?
Well, you mentioned Rui went pick one. A man who went pick 12 in that draft was Sean Burgoyne. Silk. He's got a brand new book out. He's going to join us next on the Rush Hour with Rui and Billy. Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I could see ahead that this bloke was going to be a superstar.
You'd never even heard of him.
Matty Belladova. Oh.
Nick Revolt, Billy Brownless. This is Triple M's Rush Hour, and we are joined by AFL royalty, 407 games, Bill, four premierships, and his brand new book, Silk, is available online and at bookstores. Sean Burgoyne.
Our next guest is one of only five men to have played 400 AFL games.
He's done it all, and a true gentleman of our great game.
He's a footy legend, simply known as Silk.
Unmarked on 50, takes a one step, beat the goal. What a champion Sean Burgoyne is. They get around him from everywhere. So
please welcome Sean Burgoyne.
Yes, football royalty. Mm. We are very, very blessed today to be joined by none other than Sean Burgoyne. Hey, Shawnee, it's been a little bit of time now, a bit of water going under the bridge. I'm sure that realisation that you're actually now an ex-AFL footballer is starting to dawn on you. Can you just be honest with you? How pissed off were you that you actually had to share that final stage with Alistair Clarkson?
It would have been nice to go out, you know, all the tension on me. I love sharing the moment with him. I was pretty greedy. I had my 400th a few weeks before against Port Adelaide, where the intention was on me. But it was a good last game, and when you consider Bashir Hooley and Dave Ashbury as well from Richmond last games, and the game was a draw. So, it was a weird ending, but yeah, I was happy to share the spotlight with those guys.
It was a festival of silk, Billy, really, wasn't it? With the 400th in the last game. Well, only fitting, of course, Johnny. Has it sunk in yet that you actually now are an ex-player?
Yeah, I think it's slowly sinking in. The biggest thing I've had so far is actually I can eat or drink what I want with nothing hanging over my head, worrying about skin folds or
time. It's a slippery slope.
I know. So that much. The mental relief about not worrying about that stuff is I really like it. I've been for a couple of jogs, and I woke up the other day and I went to go for a jog and it was raining, so I just rolled back over and went to sleep.
Beautiful. I love it. Righto, you got here 89 kilos when you played. What are you right now, Sean Burgoyne?
No, I'm still going okay. I'm at 93.
That's four,
It's gone up a couple of kilos.
you're not as bad as Tommy Rockliffe, who's going to hit 100 kilos very shortly. So 71 more games than you, Rui, this bloke, by the way. You thought you were a star and I played 336 and all that, you tell everyone. He's played 71 more games. And, Silky boy, you had a chance to actually win the game, didn't you? That dive, it just missed at the end there?
Yeah, there the ball was obviously, I think it's 2 centimetres over the line, so I wasn't quick enough. I lost a bit of my toe in my old age, but my shoulder's actually really sore right now, still from that actual lunge. So it's just going to take a bit more time to heal. So if I knew it was going to be a goal, I might have not dived if I ended up with a sore shoulder.
Yeah. Hey, mate, tell us about the book called Silk. So it's available now for all football fans or just people generally interested in your story, which is an absolutely incredible one, mate. A great tale of perseverance and resilience. Clearly a really accomplished person as well. Mate, how did you find that whole experience of actually writing a book?
I was very nervous, to be honest. I actually said no a couple of times to the publisher, and a couple of times they came back to me, I think the fourth time, and then I finally agreed to it. Because I actually didn't really want the extra added attention to be on myself. Being a footy player, the attention's always on the team. And I thought this might be outside my comfort zone. But once I got into the process with Martin Blake about reminiscing about my childhood, early teens, footy career, a bit of my family and stuff, it actually was quite enjoyable just to reminisce and think about some of the highs and lows I've been through. And even the lows, when you reflect on your journey, they actually – it's a part of your story, and it actually brings a smile to your face because it helps shape the person you become today. So it was genuinely quite rewarding, to be honest.
I weren't aware you had too many lows, Shawnee, throughout the 400. we'll have to read the book to hear about it.
Well, one of my lows was obviously one of Bill's highs, you know, the 2007 grand final. Yeah. So.
Oh, and then the next year, 2008. Speaking of that, you always played well against the Cats. What do you reckon was your best game? Just one game. What was your best game
you played? My best game? Oh, I don't want to pump myself up.
No, you got to. This is why you're going to do it, mate.
You have to. Ex-players, that's all we've got left, mate.
there were one or two games when I was at Port where I felt like I was playing on ball, where I felt like I was in the sweet spot.
Yeah.
There was a game against West Coast where I had, I don't know, 12 or 13 clearances, 30-odd possessions, few goals. And then there was one against Collingwood where I had about 18 clearances. A couple there against Collingwood, and then I don't know the prelim against Geelong at Hawthorn.
Yes,
yeah, that's the
that's
one.
A bloody yeah. one where you just bobbed up, kicked that goal late.
That's the one.
There's a couple of good games in there, but yeah.
You know what I said, Sean Burgoyne.
I know, it was a great game.
Hey, Silk, can you hang around, mate? I've got a very in-depth question for you after the break.
It's the Rush Hour, Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Make sure the mics aren't ever turned on during songs.
Quite aware of that.
Otherwise, he might never work again.
Triple M's Rush Hour, Nick Revolt and Billy Brownless. And we are joined by Sean Burgoyne, the man known as Silk.
Who gave you the nickname Silk?
Chance Bateman did. I think he was taking the mickey out of me, to be honest, because I rolled in on crutches my first day at Hawthorn. Yes. And they were like, look at this banged up thing. We gave 2 first round draft picks away for this guy on crutches. So then I think he named me Silk, just taking the piss, to be honest.
So that was a Hawthorn nickname. Did you have a nickname when you were at Port?
Yeah, there's so many different nicknames. There was Burger, Junior Burger, Burgo. There was heaps. There was I don't know, the fans just come up with so many different ones.
And what did Clarko call you? He didn't call you Silk.
No, he called me Bullet Burgoyne.
Bullet Burgoyne.
He called me Bullet. I don't know about you, but when you have a coach, they always make up stupid nicknames for players and they think they're gold and they will stick with it. So, yeah, I don't know. You've had Ross and some other coaches.
Rossi went through a thing where he refused to call anyone by their nickname. So he just went through a phase where he actually only used players' first names. It was a phase. It lasted about 6 weeks and he said, no, this is bloody stupid. I'm going it wasn't working. But you're right. The coaches, you know, Grant Thomas called me Sunshine, which was Sunshine. Like no one else called me Sunshine.
Because when you bent over, the sun would shine.
Yes.
I think, hold on. Shawnee, you only had 2 coaches. That is unbelievable. 407 games and you only had 2 coaches.
I had 2 coaches. One thing I did learn is when with those 2 coaches, you never sat in the front row because when they yelled, they sat everywhere. Yeah. If you sat in the front row, you copped the spray, you know, from them. So never sit in the front row. But, yeah, 2 great coaches who pretty much shaped my career.
What's the future look like, Shawnee? So you've gone back to Adelaide. You're going to stay obviously involved in the game. Can you tell us about your role?
Yeah, so obviously I've taken up a job with Port Adelaide across a number of different areas. So I'll be the Indigenous Liaison Officer for Port Adelaide, some mentoring leadership, also some government and corporate relations in there as well, and a bit of list management. So I'm going to be across a few things. Working alongside Chris Davies and under Matthew Richardson, who will point me in the right direction. And I've also started an Indigenous cleaning business based in Melbourne. So ACS Indigenous Property Services, which, you know, is going to be fairly busy. So I've got a couple of things on the go at the moment, Roo.
Oh, the corporate. That means what? Cashies.
I wish. Just look after the keys.
You're speaking to the king of cashies, Shawnee. Don't worry about that.
I still, mate, those panels you do grand final week when we used to have crowds grand final week and you'd go to a panel and there's Shawnee, actually Rui Bob up and every panel these boys are on and demanding big dollars. Hey, a Burgoyne story isn't just about winning 4 premierships and becoming the Indigenous Games record holder. Now, that is something to be very, very proud of, Shawnee.
Yeah, well, in all honesty, when I was drafted many, many years ago, the same day as Roo, he was my number one draft pick. Same draft.
Yep. Oh, what pick were you?
I was pick 12. Oh, I actually went to the draft camp and I spoke with St Kilda, and they'd said, I spoke to Mick Malthouse before St Kilda, and he said, just ask them, what are you going to draft me? Put it back on them. So Mick told me to do that. So I went into St Kilda and I said, are you going to draft me? And they said, no. Oh. We're going to go after tools. Yeah. Obviously, it's after Brewy and Cozzy. So, but yeah, when I was drafted that day, all I wanted to do was just play one game. That was the dream, and I never actually thought too far ahead. And then every game was a bonus. And then, yeah, I was played way more than I expected, to be honest.
And the big news, Rui, of course, don't worry about anything else, Port Adelaide or the book. Oh, the book's very good. But the big signing at Triple M Football for 2022 is none other than Sean Burgoyne. Welcome to the Triple M family, mate.
Thanks, mate. I'm really really happy to join the team and to call some games over from Adelaide next year. And, yeah, very, very excited.
You're going to be like Rue, who signs this big contract, big fanfare. Oh, we got dancing girls and drummers walking through the building. I reckon Rue did three games for us for the year.
Three games.
One. Oh, he only did one. Sorry. He only did one game.
He's hot property. Everyone's pissed Rue.
Piss off, Rabsy.
I said three and Rabsy's
COVID related, boys. Just, like a week off last week. Some things are out of our control. Hey, Shawnee, what's going to be your style? I can see you're going to be the type that would just bring the sledgehammer to players every year.
Bring the sledgehammer. Nah, I'm not too sure. Well, I did some part-time radio calling when I was playing. And obviously, you got to watch what you say about opposition players and teams. So I probably won't have that hanging on over my head at the moment. But I'll actually just I'll find my way. Whether what style is my style? But at the moment, it just be obviously special comments and. Yeah. I'll add one or two things here and there, but I'll wait and see how I go down that path.
Special comments like another Adelaide boy, Greg Blewett, who gives us this goal.
Let's head to Greg Blewett for Bob James Seabass.
Got nothing for you, mate.
Get on your Blewett.
Cross down to him yet. Got nothing for you, mate.
You just got to make something up, don't you, Bill?
Well, you do, Shauno. If we ever come down to you, just say, the grass is green or something.
Yeah, I think it's a favourite of mine is when a commentator mentions, are the boys wearing the long stops or not?
Yeah, right.
That's always one of my favourites.
Where can we get silk, Rabsy?
Online bookstores and all good bookstores around the country as well.
Good work. Hey, thank you very much, Sean. What a star you have been. I tell you what, a true gentleman, a great family man, respected everywhere, Rui, hasn't he been, this man? And I look for, well, I don't read, so I won't say I'll read the book, the audio book with it.
Nah, no worries. Thanks, guys. It's good to see that everyone got the white shirt memo too. So. Yeah.
Well played.
Good on you, Sean.
Superstar, Shawnee. Thanks, mate.
See you, guys.
It's the Rush Hour, Rui and Bill, Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
So I was thinking, Jim, and then I got your head together and the lovely Jillies.
On the listener app and on your radio, this is Triple M's Rush Hour with Billy Brownless and AFL superstar and MasterChef Australia contestant Nick Revolt.
And last night on Celebrity MasterChef, Rui, you had to cook up a mystery. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we had the mystery box, Bill. So this is the staple of MasterChef. They do this every year where basically you've got a box in front of you and you're not sure what's in it. So you lift it up, you've got the ingredients and you've got to come up with something. You're just using those ingredients. But then they had a mystery box within the mystery box.
Oh, jeez.
And you could decide whether you were going to see what was in that.
Yep.
And if you did, well, then you had to cook with it. And silly me put my hand up and said, I'll give it a go. Yeah. Anyway, Bill.
What was it?
Crickets.
No. As in
crickets.
Cricketers, in, like our hat trick bloke, the Irish bloke.
What was his name? Curtis Camper. Curtis Camper. So, no, Curtis wasn't in the box. It was crickets, the insects.
What do crickets taste like?
Well, they were roasted.
Yes.
You know what? They tasted like little salty chips.
Oh.
They're actually pretty good. They're actually pretty good. So I just put them in a blender, blended them up and used them as seasoning.
Oh, nice.
And it was all right. It was all right. I did a steak tartare sort of thing and had the crickets through them as the seasoning, and it wasn't bad.
Not bad. And there was no elimination last night?
No elimination, free swing. So they're the fun ones when you know you can just have a bit of fun and experiment. But who won last night? It was Tilly Ramsey, Gordon Ramsay's daughter. She is a star. She's a weapon in the kitchen.
Are you going to write on that show? But are you a chef? Are you a good cook?
No, no, I'm not a chef. No, I'm not a chef.
No, actually, I knew you weren't a chef. I don't know why.
I like to cook, Bill. It was a lot of fun. I learned a lot. Learned a lot throughout the whole experience, and met some great people. That was the best thing about it. You would have been the same when you did. I'm the celebrity. Get me out of here or whatever. You want to be on those shows with great people, and I was lucky enough to made some great mates.
And there's some there that you judge, which you shouldn't. We all judge. And you go, oh, you'll be a dick. But anyway, you get on air and they're really good. They're good, great people, aren't they?
Yeah.
Which they thought about you, to be honest.
You got any names for us, Bill?
Well, I don't know. But, like, I didn't know Del Rook, to be honest, and Miguel, the chef. And then Daisy, I wasn't sure about him, to be honest. And then he was a great fella. So, but good on you, the alpaca.
thanks.
Celebrity MasterChef is on Sunday and Monday nights on Channel 10. This is Triple M's Rush Hour. Bill's joke up next. Yes. Billy Brownless and a man who's definitely not a chef, Nick Revolt.
Yeah.
You got a lift, Bill.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, okay, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
Nick Revolt, Billy Brownless, this is Triple M's Rush Hour on tomorrow. A hump day quiz, Bill.
It is Wednesday, Geelong Cup Day too, of course, so I'll have a couple of winners for you. No froffers. Not on air.
And we've also got to hear, hopefully, from a Texas footballer, Roo.
Oh. Who's that, Roo? Roo,
you there?
You dopey thing. Have a look at you. You look like a stunned mallet.
Oh, no.
Dopey. Alpaca head.
I think we'll just have to push on without him, Bill.
Fair dinkum old alpaca head.
Here we go.
He's frozen.
In the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Here we go, Ramsey, a better one than yesterday. And
I'd
one's
hope so.
For you, Nick, over there, old frozen one. Beryl and her husband, Ernie, go to the town fair every year. And every year, Beryl would say to Ernie, I'd like to go on the helicopter ride. But every year, Ernie would always say, I know you would, Dale, but the ride is $50. And $50 is $50. Might have told this one.
You have.
A few years later, once again, they go to the town fair. And Beryl says to Ernie, I'm now 75 years old, and if I don't ride on the helicopter this year, I may never get another chance. Which Ernie replied, I know, Dale, but the ride costs $50, and $50 is $50. The pilot of the helicopter ride overheard the couple, and he said, folks, I'll make a deal with you. I'll take you both up in the air for a ride, and if you can stay quiet for the entire ride and don't say a word, I won't charge you a cent.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say one word, it's $50. Beryl and Ernie agreed to the deal, and off they went. The pilot did all the fancy kinds of manoeuvres, lots of twists and turns, but not a word was heard from the back seat. He did all the daredevil tricks over and over again, but still not a word. When they landed, the pilot turned to Ernie and said, I'll give it to you. I did everything I could to make you scream or yell out, but you didn't even make a sound. Ernie replied back, well, to tell you the truth, I almost said something when Beryl fell out, but you know, $50 is $50.
Oh, no.
Bang, what did you think of that, Rui? Thanks, Josh. Yeah. Has Rui come good yet?
No, still frozen.
Silly Texan.
It is late over in Texas.
Oh, yeah. Good one, Rui. Let's hope you're a bit better. Actually, your last bit was the best you've been this week. Billy's back. Good joke, Bill. Already coming through the feeder.
What?
Feeder.
The
feeder.
What's that?
The replies. All saying, good joke. Well done, Bill. Loved it. Ernie and Beryl, they were good. And Roo was great.